Well, church, it is good to be here this morning with you as we celebrate Advent, as we move closer and closer to Christmas. We are just finishing up a series that for Advent called Go Tell It. And this idea of that this is there's a story to be heard and a story to be told in the Christmas story. And one of the things that we like to always remind ourselves as disciples of Jesus, that our life as we apprentice after him takes a kind of a rhythm or a paradigm shift that is being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And so this morning as we talk about joy, I wanted to be upfront and honest with you. Like, joy has been really hard for me this Advent season. Anybody else it's been hard for you? Like, joy? I'm not alone. And it just seemed really, like, just hard. And one of the things that I battled with in this is the thing that is sold to you. I don't know if you like watch commercials anymore, but like we have, you know, streaming and I don't pay enough to get rid of the ads. And so I see all these images of like, this husband and wife or this family member going and shopping at the mall and they're around like a jewelry thing and they're looking, they're smiling. The person is attending them really generously, not pushy. You know, because no salesperson is pushy this time of year. And all of a sudden you see this, and then I'm just like, I don't understand this. Because this is not my reality. I went to the mall the other day, and I am in 10 minutes in and out. Like, I play no games. If you're the person that just wanders the mall, like, I'm zigzagging you. It's like an IndyCar race. I'm like in and out of you, and I'm just like, boom. And then you get to the point where you're like, oh, this is great. I'm making great time, and you get the things that you want because you know exactly what you want. You're not shopping. And then you get to the line, and you're like, dang. And people are like talking too much and not paying attention. And then like everything in me is sometimes just like, I gotta get out of here. And there's this tension in there because I think there's this place of like, you are sold one thing that this shopping season, this getting gifts is supposed to bring smiles and joy to you. But I don't know if you've had a 12, a 10, and a 7-year-old round you shopping for Christmas. But it's not joyful. And I realize that this like, there's this competing nature of happiness that is sold to us and the joy that we're seeking. Like the world is selling you a narrative of happiness in this season. But what we're really seeking at the end of the season is joy. And so this morning as we look at Mary and focus in on her experience within the Advent story, we are looking at this idea that the joy isn't found in me. The joy is found in he. And so if you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39, we're going to read Mary's experience within the Advent story and the joy that comes from her. This is Luke 1, starting in verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she encountered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm.
He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we come this morning just as we are. Nothing more, nothing less. And trusting in your word that you meet us exactly where we are. Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see you? Would you give us ears to hear you? Would you give us hearts to accept what is hard for us? Would you give us a mind open to know you deeper? We ask this in your name. Amen. One of the things that we realize quickly within our lives as followers of Jesus, as lives as living in humanity, is that joy shrinks when me, becomes greater than Jesus. Like, we know that about our faith, we know that about our humanity, but one of the things that we realize so hard is that when our focus becomes so much on us, that joy shrinks. And that happened to me in this last couple weeks as I was preparing for this message and thinking about joy and knowing that it's been just so struggling. One of my evening wind down routines is to get into the hot tub to relax, to be by myself and just be and to breathe, have a practice of solitude. And it was one of the clear nights that we've had in the last couple of weeks. We haven't had many of them. And I was so happy because it meant like it wasn't raining. You could see the stars in the sky. And all of a sudden, as I was looking up, I saw a shooting star. Have you ever seen one? No, I thought that it was a really rare thing. Actually, it's pretty common. And so I didn't feel as good about myself. But it was, because I had to research it later. I guess it's because just all that city living. But I remember looking up and I was like, boom, it's there. And then it was gone. And I was thinking, and I was just, there's that spark of joy in me. And then all of a sudden, as I go up to look in, clouds started moving back in really quickly. And I started to get glum. And I realized that joy in life isn't simple. It's complicated. This story that we see with Mary, that bearing the Christ child didn't make her life any easier. It actually incredibly made it so much more complicated. That she is to be married, and yet she's going to be pregnant. All of her life in the way that she had deemed that it was probably going to go in this beautiful marriage with Joseph now had all of a sudden turned on its head. It wasn't just a normal pregnancy, but this was the Messiah, the long-awaited one. Life gets really, really complicated. Joy is intermixed with this, I'm carrying the long-awaited Messiah, and yet everything that I had wanted and desired out of my life has now been pushed aside. And so we get this lingering complication that life is not more simple, it is now more complicated. But Mary in that moment didn't focus. One of the great things that I see in there is that Mary said, may your word to me be fulfilled. That is complicated. That she's bearing all of the changes and the announcement, the pronouncement. It's not just easy that she sees an angel of the Lord and not to be afraid to see what is happening. And yet in all of that moment, and instead of shrinking in on her circumstances and how everything had changed, she looks and she speaks, may your word to me be fulfilled. There's many times in scripture where you get this encounter, whether it is with an angel or it's with the Spirit. In Psalm 8, the writer, in the pondering of what it means to be in relationship with the Creator, says this, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them.
What it is meant to do is to elicit with the psalmist that you look up and you wonder, how is this God who created all this, is mindful of humanity, of all of creation, the cosmos, as you look up into the sky and all the stars. But often, sometimes in this season, when we're struggling with joy, struggling with seeking the happiness that comes, that is sold to us, we move from wonder to wonder. We move from this eyes wide open, looking up, to eyes so internally looking down. And this is what the world is trying to do. It's trying to sap our joy and change it for happiness. Trying to get your eyes, instead of looking up and wondering, to pondering. How could this God, is he even mindful of me? Does he even see me? That you're told and you are brought up that, am I the most important thing? It's moving from this internal view to this very temporal, to moving from a selfless nature to a self-centered focus. The shift that we see from Mary and her story is, instead of going internal and pondering and saying, I don't know if the Lord sees me, we have to move and shift our eyes from our circumstances to the promised one. But God, one of the most beautiful things in this story is that God doesn't lose me in the midst of we. Have you ever been in the crowd amongst tens of thousands of people? I love when I'm ever at a baseball game at the Mariners, and they see me, and people are like, oh my gosh, you're there too. Can you see me? I was like, bro, I wear glasses. I can't see anything. And then I'm like, what are you wearing? Teal and blue. What are you wearing? Texas Rangers stuff. Like, I'm easy. But you're told in this narrative that you get drowned out, that the we is more important, that 12th man idea, that you are just a little part, that you are nothing special. You don't have the privilege to have God's eyes set on you. That sometimes when we wander and we get seeking for this happiness and we actually trade the joy for happiness, we buy into the lie that we are not uniquely made. That in all of human history, of the billions of people that are on, that the Lord wants those that are unsaved to be saved, those that don't know him to know him, and you already know him, so he puts you to the side. But the beautiful thing that we see in Mary's story is the tension of being able to hold a God who doesn't lose you in the midst of we. Mary says this in the text. In her song, she says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people to redeem them. He has raised up the horn of salvation for us, that to show mercies to our ancestors and remember his holy covenant that he swore to our father Abraham, that he swore to rescue us from the hands of our enemies, to enable us to serve him in holiness, in righteousness of all our day. That the Lord has this ability to move in generations beyond time spans, to say from generation to generation that we have a God that, yes, sees all things and is worried about generations upon generations. But in the text, if you want to go to a couple more slides, Wendy. One more. This is what Mary says. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of his humble state of his servant. That in the midst of her understanding that this God is so large, that his gospel is so large, that it is including of every single person, in the midst of all of we, they've been waiting for this Messiah to turn everything in this humanity upside down, to bring, to restore what is wrong to what is right, and she sees in all of this a God that would choose her. That would choose her humble state, to choose her. And I sit there and I reflect in my own heart of what was happening when I was relaxing, looking at the shooting star, and then all of a sudden, clouds came in. I had this thought, and I don't know if you've had it too, is like, oh, this is typical. Maybe this is really about me. Maybe God doesn't care about me. Maybe the Lord doesn't see me. But in that moment, this is the goodness of the Lord, is that when you're looking up into the heavens, something happens. When you look up into all creation, the Holy Spirit comes down and says, you can see all these things. The stars and the planets and all these things in motion. And remember, like Paul says in Ephesians, that you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, formed and spent time on, above all things in creation. God spent time on you. So proud of you. So filling of who you are, that you are a once in a lifetime creation. There will not be another one like you. And he created you to not only know him, but to bless the world with your uniqueness into whoever you come across and next to. That Jesus died, yes, for all of humanity, but he died for you. This is one of the most beautiful things in the story of Christianity. It is a God who has the ability to change the narrative of human history. To see all things that was, to see all things that are, and all things that will be. And in that moment, he is not just dying for those presents, but he is dying for you. In the midst of we, you are not lost. In the mind of the Father, in the mind of the Son, or in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit doesn't just rest in the ether around us, but says you are his dwelling place. That in you, the Holy Spirit lives and moves. You are not lost in all of creation. You are not lost in the story of God who has been waiting and waiting for you to come home. He tarries, he waits so that everyone can come to the party. And he will wait for you and wait for you. You. God's eyes are upon you. And the truth is, as we live in this moment of what do we take away from this? Is that we understand that joy can't be something that you achieve. You can achieve happiness. You can strive after it every day. And every day fill yourself with a little bit of happiness. But you will never receive happiness. You receive joy. How does the song go? I've got the joy, 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 joy. Where? Where? I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I'm not going to go to the other ones because then it's like, then you'll find out that I don't know all the words. But I think about this. like some, we've experienced in these last season just such a change. We have gone from a very dry winter, and I don't know if you have driven on I-90. One of the things that really caught my eye when I was moving here is how the lake Ketchlis that's on 90 as you go out can be both very full and then very empty. All of a sudden you see all the trees that used to be growing, but now they're exposed. And I wonder if this is like a metaphor or an image of, is our joy something that changes from season to season? Is it affected in winter and in fall, where we are starting to maybe fill back up and coming out of a season that is just so dry, that our joy ebbs and flows, and then we find out that it is not deep, deep, deep down in our heart, but it's very shallow? Or is it like the Marian Trench that is 35,000 feet deep? And that the ebbs and flows of El Nino and La Nina cannot affect the depth of the trench. This is the difference between our happiness and our joy. That no matter the circumstances or the weather, our joy is not affected. Because our joy is found in the salvation that comes from the Lord. We read it this morning. That Psalm 51 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. I don't know about you today, but I don't know if you've been walking days, weeks, years, decades, your entire life, striving so hard to feel something that feels full, but always is a glass half empty, that you always feel that in your life there is some holes that are leaking out joy. And you need to sit here and say, Lord, return to me the joy of your salvation. Can't earn it. It can be returned to me. It is an invitation that the psalmist says to the Lord. Lord, I'm coming back to you. I'm sitting in front of you at your feet, and I'm asking and I'm begging, return the joy that I have lost, that I've turned away from, and I've come back and I sit and I have hands open ready to finally receive it. I've been obstinate. I've ran away. I thought I could fill myself and satisfy myself, and I'm exhausted, Lord. Return to me the joy of your salvation. And church, this is true for us who have following Jesus for a long time. I talked to a friend, a dear friend in Connecticut, who found out that she had pancreatic cancer. And it's never a good idea to get pancreatic cancer. And she's sitting there and she understands the story that is often told with this type of cancer. And then she sits there with her family, and as her family, who have gone through different types of cancer with their children as well, look at her, and at first you would think that she would just say, this is our lot of our lives. Our family is devastated by cancer. And as her kids are frustrated and understanding, God, why are you picking on our family? She looks at them and says, boys, I have a win-win. If I beat this, I get to be with you. But if I don't, I need to go see Jesus. And I sat there as chills ran down my body, because that's what it looks like for the return the joy of your salvation. That the salvation is so deep, as we try to teach our children, that it is so deep that it is not circumstantial. That it is so deep that we look at our life as not a win-lose, as a win-win. No matter how many years we have, no matter what our lot in life is, we have a win-win. We get to live this life and experience friendship, family, a church. We get to experience community. We get to experience the joy that is found in life when Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life to the full. And you win at the end because I have won. Church, this is the good news that I need to hear. This is the good news that we need to hear. This is the good news that we need to go tell, that we are people of faith and we have a win-win. that is different from the story that you hear, that you have to be good enough to earn it, as other religions and other beliefs say. And if whether you are good or bad, or how the balance of it, you might come back in a worse life or not, or you may not get what you want, but as Jesus followers, God's grace is good enough for you. The worst of you, me being too. And when you sit there and you think about it, joy is knowing that I can have Christ now to the fullest. And I can also have eyes be made sight on my Savior. It is roots that are deep, 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 that aren't changed by our circumstances. That yes, life is complicated, and yes, it can be hard. But when we ask for the Lord to return the joy of our salvation, it is not to make your life easier or better or full of more things or money or success. The joy of my salvation, the Lord says, is me. You get my life now. And the surety that there is hope, that there is peace, that there is love, that there is joy for you today, as much as there is in the age to come. It is available to you now. It is available. Stop seeking for other things that are so unsatisfying. And come to me, hands open and saying, Lord, I've tried to supplement your joy with my happiness because I think you haven't done a good enough job. But I'm realizing that I'm trying to supplement. I'm trying to recreate joy that was never mine to create, but to receive. Come to the Father, hands open, heart bearing, saying, this is who I am. The joy will be with you in your first breath, and joy can be with you on your last breath. This is the way that I want to live. I want to bear witness to every moment of every day with every breath that the joy of the Lord is deeper than my circumstances. And on my last breath, I want to breathe it with joy because I have lived a joyful life full of the salvation of the Lord, and I am so ready to go see my Father finally. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, you are in this room. You are dwelling in us and you are whispering words of life. Open our ears, Lord. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us this morning? Holy Spirit, what have you been saying for a very long time? Holy Spirit, you are not bound by this time of reflection, but you have all time and space. So Holy Spirit, if it is this morning that we hear from you the joy that we desperately want, speak. If it is in the car ride home, speak. If it is the last thing we hear as we lay our heads down, speak. Give us ears to hear. You are our God. We are your people. Amen.